Good afternoon. This is Virtual Newsmakers, and we are starting back up again. And today we are going to be interviewing Elaine Lindsay of Truul Social Media. We crack the code, we crack the digital code is the tagline. Anyway, we're here today with Elaine Lindsay and Debbie Ellickson, both of Canada. My name is Cynthia Seymour, and we're looking forward to introducing you all. Thank you. Elaine?
Thanks very much for having me. It's great to see you again. It's really been a while. Yeah. I didn't realize just how long. My God, you know, we kind of get on with our lives and woo, years just slip by. But yeah, I'm really thrilled to be here with you. It's really cool in 2016 to see a number of things that were starting. We were talking about semantic search, and now it's nice to see everything coming together online, which is why we now say we crack the digital code, because it is about understanding your place in the whole digital picture and how you integrate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people feel like the changes are happening so quickly they can't keep up with them. So would you all say that you feel that too sometimes?
Well, that's the one thing that I always tell people, and Elaine, you know, all three of us, we know this from corporations that hire the wrong people to work on their digital media, because they look at degrees and they look at all that stuff, and they look for the people that call themselves social media experts, but reality, there is no such thing as an expert, because the platforms are changing so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can't possibly be an expert in this field. We are willing to learn. We are willing to move as the platforms move us, and we are willing to look at all the different applications of these platforms. But we can never ever know everything, and that's what makes it so such a wonderful place to work.
Oh, absolutely, and I want to clarify something you said there. People who call themselves experts. Expert is a term that others use for people they think know more than they do. When someone uses it on themselves, it really kind of makes me step back. I have worked very long and hard to develop an expertise in search and social, but good God, there is no way I could know everything. There are new things coming online every single hour. Like, think about that. Yeah. It's not weekly, monthly, daily. It's every hour there is something new. Some platform has absolutely, you know, flipped everything on its head. So, it is really, it can be intimidating to stay up to date. The fact is, I live, breathe, and love everything I do. So for me, I don't find it intimidating. I find it a phenomenal challenge. But definitely challenge, because some days you're just like, oh my God, okay, a new one. What am I going to do today? Got a notice about a new platform this morning, and I haven't had time to check it out yet.
What is it?
But yeah, no, Debbie, I totally agree with you there. And back in 2014, I was talking about the fact that we try to instill in our clients, and often, like you say, it's clients who are coming to us after having had one or two or more quote unquote social media experts, and we try to instill what we consider to be best practices. Because, I've started using this kind of analogy for people in that you have to have good foundations. Whether it's social media, it's SEO, it's building a house, or simply putting up a treehouse for your kids, you have to have a solid foundation that will allow whatever you put in place to weather the storm. Be that, you know, like, God forbid, Fort McMurray right now in the fires, or even, you know, as little as bad winds. We say, you know, you can put $1 million trailer in a trailer park. You can spend as much as you want, but if you don't put some kind of foundation in place, the first storm that comes up, you're done. Your $1 million is gone. So it's very much the same thing online. Putting those foundations in place, making sure of your consistency and your congruency in all your digital pieces. That's website, blog, social media, SEO, your videos. All of those things need to have that foundation so that you're being assured that whatever's coming back is coming to you.
Mm-hmm. So are you talking about branding yourself consistently across all the social media profiles, or what? Can you define that a little bit better?
Yeah, that's one piece of it. That's just one piece. It's not just branding you, but it's, not to put too fine a point on it, but it's making sure that you are consistent in literally everything. That's from your name, what we call in local, I don't know if you deal with clients that have bricks and mortar businesses. Mm-hmm. They have a slightly different form of search engine optimization, which would include their social optimization, in that they need their name, their address, and their phone number to be consistent across everything they do. And the reason for that, okay, we want the search engines to, I don't know if you remember me years ago, I used to say it was the jug of juice. Okay, you had your optimization juice, you got a jug or a glass, and Debbie had a glass, and I had a glass. Well, if you sometimes, you know, Cynthia K. Seymour, that's everywhere. But if one day, you know, she was tired or whatever, and she left out the K, then all of that, when it was being indexed by the bots for search, wouldn't put it in her jug. They would start a new jug.
Exactly.
And that new jug goes to no one. And it is, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but for a local business, someone is, say, they have a business on a street, okay, so, or, you know, Miami Boulevard or what have you, and they write the full word Boulevard. Well, if the next time somebody comes in and they write BLVD, that goes in a different jug. And you're wasting so much. And it seems like such a teeny tiny thing. But you have to realize you're dealing with algorithms. You're dealing with artificial intelligence. There are parameters. They're not like humans who can go, oh, yeah, I know what she meant. There's none of I know what you meant. The algorithms don't really care what you meant. Whatever they see is what they take as at face value.
You just nailed that, by the way. The algorithms and the artificial intelligence, it hasn't been described that way before.
Well, no, and you guys know me. I kind of put stuff in really simple terms, because for me to talk to my clients in tech speak just makes me look dumb.
You got to make the translation.
They came to me because they don't understand that.
Yeah.
So trying to spout it back. So, you know, making analogies and the good thing here, stories, which is the big trend right now. Everything needs a story, right? That's how you get it across. Well, when you're trying to help people understand something that is outside of their comfort zone, when you take the time to actually make it in language that they can digest, they get a lot more out of what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So what major changes, I mean, when was our last interview with you?
January of 2014, right?
Yes, January 17th.
So we're looking at 2 years. 2 years has a lot has happened in 2 years.
Wow. Yeah.
What can you boil what the changes down a little bit for us?
I can, and it's kind of funny because some of the changes aren't changes. Cynthia, you'll understand this. They're like early on in the days of beta Google+, when we were beating on the doors telling people how much fun we were having. Well, that went on for 2 years, 2+ years, before some people started going, they might have a point. Well, exactly what's happening in 2016. We've all been nattering on since 2011, 2012, that video is it. This is the year of video. Every year somebody says the same thing. Guess what? 2016 really is the year of video. And it's more, I guess it's more prevalent because people are actually beginning to understand what the difference is.
Right.
And now we have Periscope, we have Blab, we have Facebook Live. Okay, we have our live stream from YouTube. YouTube is actually getting a basically Facebook Live piece that's currently in beta. We've got the Hangouts, we've got Zoom, there's still Skype. People are starting to understand that no like and trust factor
right.
is so much easier to come by when you can not only read what someone's saying, you can read their face. You can tell.
Not only that, but you can have a conversation with people that enables you to better. I mean, I was just telling someone 2 days ago how Debbie and I have reconnected lately. I've been working really hard on a lot of projects, so I've been a little bit under the radar. And that how she has become one of my best friends, and like it was reconnecting, even though we hadn't talked in quite some time, it was really reconnecting. And while we've never met in person, I long for that day, but I consider her one of my dearest friends and almost like a sister. Yeah, so,
exactly. This is how we meet in person that? Now.
Well, this is it. And the fact is, okay, you can see the expressions on people's faces. You can feel the emotion. The only thing we're missing is smell. And thank God for that, let's just say. Okay, not ready for smell-o-vision, for sure. But honest to God, back in the day, Vic Gundotra said that Hangouts was like being on your front porch and having your neighbors and other people come by. Well, it is that, but it's on a basis where you can interact with clients and prospects and really understand, you know, what is their pain? What is it they need? How can you best serve them? And the client or the prospect can very quickly see whether you really want to serve them or you're just putting on the facade.
Exactly.
Well, they used to do this. Do you think over the past 2 years there's been a diminishing of the fear factor? Because I think a lot of people were afraid to be on video and live.
They still are.
They still are too.
But what's happening, okay, people, you know, certain things come out and people think, oh, yeah, we'll get to it. And then it hits that tipping point where people are realizing, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to be left behind. And here's the point. Mm-hmm. In January, at the Consumer Electronics Show, Robert Kinsel, I hope I said it right, from YouTube, he reiterated what he said in 2012. He said that 75% of all interactions online are going to be video. And I mean, I've been saying this for a long time about the fact that social media as we know it today is not going to be what we see in 5 years.
Yeah. Okay. I would agree.
Yeah, with the advent of wearable tech and everything else, we're on the go, so much is mobile that we're actually going to be on video a lot more. It's going to be a consistent thing. And the part of that why more people are suddenly realizing they have to jump into video is because 75% of all business will be on video by 2020.
Wow.
Cisco's saying 90%, but the fact is, do you want to get in now when there's a billion? Or do you want to get in then when there's a few billion?
Right.
Like, that's pretty damn scary.
One of the things I've seen in the last couple, 2 years, and we all know even 2 years ago, the telephone was my albatross. I never answer it. I don't give out a phone number. Hell, I don't even have a frickin' phone. I just use my sister's landline because I do everything. If you want, you know, if I have a phone call, I schedule it like it's a face-to-face meeting outside of the house. But I find even like now, everybody else is having that aversion. Nobody wants to be phoned anymore. They'd rather send a quick Facebook message, maybe an email, or a text, but they don't want to be phoned. You know, they don't want phone calls anymore. So, or if they want to talk to you, schedule a meeting, they'll Skype. So I have seen a shift towards my way of thinking in the last 2 years, and I'm very happy.
Yeah, no, Debbie, you're absolutely right. Neither of my children have landlines.
Okay? I don't have
They both
a landline.
Have families. They both have children, but none of them have landlines. And it's so telling, this last generation that's come up, my youngest current grandson will be 3 in July, and we were babysitting him Thursday night, and as soon as we get there to babysit, his first thing is he wants to hang out with his Auntie Manda, who is my daughter. She's in Calgary. So we get on the phone, and we start to hang out with Amanda. Amanda was busy Thursday night, so it was a very, very short hangout, and he wasn't quite happy with that. So we're trying to find people for him to hang out with, and we ended up having to call my father. Now, I bought my dad a tablet a couple of years ago and didn't really set up hangouts for him because he lives down the street. So we get him on the phone, and Liam looks at the phone and he says, "Granddad, why can't I see your face? I can't see your face." It's true. This last generation, they know FaceTime. They know Hangouts.
Yes,
they know
absolutely.
Skype. They know Zoom. That's what they expect.
Yeah, so, my daughter does not want to talk on the phone at all, ever. But if she gets to FaceTime, then it's like natural. Now, let me ask you this. I'm going to be giving a talk to teenagers in a few weeks.
Yeah.
About managing their digital, you know, digital footprint and all that, you know, their reputation online.
Yeah.
How do, you know, without saying you can't do this and you can't do that, you know, I try to gear the discussion more toward what they could be doing and possibly, you know, how to grow their footprint online in a positive way. What would your suggestions be for that?
Well, we've actually run into a couple of reputation management problems for college kids and just post-college. Kids that had a few very questionable photos and other things on Facebook, etc. One young woman in particular can't get a job. And it's been very difficult for her. So it was actually Mari Smith years ago talked about the fact that, okay, you don't want to see, you know, I say to the teenagers I deal with, to the millennials that I talk with, it's like, you know, before you post something that you think is really funny, you want to ask a couple of questions of yourself. Do you think you'd want your parents to see that on the front of the New York Times? Would you want your grandmother to see it? And more importantly, when you grow up and have children, do you want them to find that?
Yeah, that's a great question, because they're not, their brains are not developed until they're in their 20s to make future thinking decisions. They're thinking about today, and they're not, their amygdala hasn't developed that fear of.
Yeah, they're thinking,
you know,
about this second. You know, we have, and we're guilty of it too. We have now developed such a society of immediacy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I don't answer an email in 20 minutes, I feel like I've somehow done something wrong. It's ridiculous. You know, you have to train yourself to, okay, this is silly. But think back to when you were a teenager. Everything we did was the most important thing in the world. And mm-hmm. like, if we couldn't do something in the next 10 minutes, oh my God, the world was going to end. That type of thinking, it permeates everything they do. Mm-hmm. But I found that when I word it like, you know, your family, the New York Post, your grandparents, but more important, look down the road. What if when you have kids, like, do you think you'd want them to see that? And it's amazing how they will think about, okay, well, maybe not that, maybe not that. Because it's put in a way, I'm not saying I want to police you. I'm not saying we're going to police you. I'm saying, why don't you look inside you?
Why don't you police yourself?
Exactly. And yeah. Millennials are really smart. Okay? Sometimes I think we give them short shrift, and I think...
Well, they are 40 years old, though.
Pardon?
They are 40 years old, though.
Well, not quite 40, thank God. Gen Y is my daughter's group. She's just over 40. She'll shoot me for saying that, by the way. And you know, the millennials are... They are much more, I want to say, socially conscious.
Yes.
They're more involved in what goes on around them. They want to do something that's going to matter. They're not necessarily about, oh, yeah, I want to get this job and I want to be this. Or they want to affect change in some way. And I think it's really admirable. I think it's amazing. And you know... I guess I'm a little different than most because I have the mind of a 12-year-old, so I don't really fit in any one category. But it helps to be able to put yourself in the other generation's shoes because none of us want to be told what to do.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I sure don't even today. Tell me what to do. I'll do the opposite.
Exactly. Yeah, don't you tell me to do this because I'll do anything but.
Yeah. I'm a rebel at heart. I've always been a rebel, and so I so get their I so get it. So
absolutely. And, you know, it's fascinating to see the changes, but if you dig a little, you actually find a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Well, and if you took that, if you seized on that being more socially conscious, and I was able to maybe find a way to tap into that and ask them questions like, what is your passion and how could you share your passion with the world? And, you know, if you have this knowledge base or this hobby, why not share that with the world, you know, and make something out of that? You have so much to offer in front of you. And why not make your online presence really stand out by being meaningful?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, Elaine, what are a couple of the apps that you can't live without? The first apps you turn on in the morning and the last apps you shut off at night.
Okay. Well. Funny enough. Okay. YouTube live streaming and Hangouts still something I use every single day. Okay, since 2011, it doesn't go away. I sometimes get frustrated with a couple of little apps in the Hangouts, but I wouldn't put them away. I use dashboards in order to facilitate a lot of the social management that we do for clients. So, of course, Hootsuite. I love Manage Flitter, mm-hmm. which is absolutely phenomenal for making sure that you're keeping track of kind of the right people. Nobody wants a bunch of spam accounts. Nobody wants, you know, the buy Twitter followers, buy Facebook followers. I actually have a public list I've now added them all to called buy followers or no silly sales people or something, or buy followers no. And I made it public because there's more and more people are realizing, okay, it's not about having the most followers. It's about being the most engaged with the people that you're engaged with. And for that, It's funny. It's the apps, honestly, Debbie, change from, I would say, month to month.
Really?
Yeah, other than the dashboards, because there's always something coming around the corner. HubSpot has a free CRM that, honest to God, is phenomenal. And I've been singing their praises since last year because I've used paid CRMs, and I go back to the days of like Maximizer and what was it, Access, Microsoft's one.
Yeah.
This one is phenomenal, and honest to God, I don't think I could live without it because it keeps track of my email correspondence with my clients and my prospects and tracks my time and tracks my scheduling, which is absolutely amazing. On my phone.
Is it mobile? Is that one mobile or is it the HubSpot?
It's a HubSpot HubSpot.com/CRM, and to be honest, I think it is.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it is. Not too sure about that. What I do love, another app, is Blab.
Yeah.
I love peeking in on what's going on. And
yeah, I like Blab too.
Yeah, chatting about this, that, and the other. Periscope, I think, is a really good platform, but I find it very promotional.
Yeah.
You know, Blab is about, again, more sort of a community thing. People can talk with other people. Periscope, to me, is much more front-facing. So it's much more promotional.
Yeah.
I use a number of apps, but paid apps. One of the ones that I love and I could not live without, because every night before I go to bed, I have a gratitude list.
Oh, cool.
It's a little app that I bought for my iPad. I think it was $1.99. It's nothing horrendously expensive. But it allows you to make a list. You can start your day from 1 to 5, and it gives you a really nice little quote when you're done for the day.
Nice.
So that's my end of day. There's another one that's to do with mindfulness, and it's called Relax. And it is just little, you know, 1 to 2 minute mindfulness meditations.
Hmm.
Because we work in a very stressful, sort of ongoing, constantly on kind of medium. And it's important to take those little breathers, I think, throughout the day.
What does it say about me when I use Angry Birds for that?
Yeah, there you go. I don't have the hand-eye coordination to do those games.
I don't either.
And more to be honest, I used to love the ball drop things, you know, and Tetris and stuff. I don't use those for relaxation because once I got into it, I'd never get out.
It would be and it's like adrenaline, you know?
It's like, oh, yeah, let's go. No, it would get me far too lost. One other thing I wanted to touch on, and I briefly said, you know, the trends now are about the storytelling. Okay? People are starting to really understand that if you give an analogy or a parable or tell a story about what you do in a way that people can put themselves in the story, it makes a world of difference in how you get to interact.
Can you give an example? Because this is like the buzzword of social media now.
Okay.
But, and we all know that we have to do storytelling. But can you give a concrete example?
Absolutely.
That might help our viewers.
Yeah. And this is, it's such a good point, Debbie, and I love to do this because, yeah, people are always, you know, shooting out the buzzwords, and then you go, well, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so back in... I think it was December or the first week in January, I went to a breakfast networking meeting that I had never been at before. And they had a really cool way of putting this meeting together. Somebody went around and they had a bag with little strips of paper in it. You pulled out a paper and it had someone's name on it. You had to go find that person in the first 20-minute networking and find out about them. because when it came time for your 30 seconds to say hello, you weren't talking about you, you were talking about them.
Nice.
Yeah, and I thought, well, hang on a minute, this is kind of cool. So at that point, unfortunately, three different people got the same person. So we were talking about how we were going to handle this, and the woman who got my name was asking me questions. Now, as everybody can see today, I have no problem talking. Okay, it's what I do for a living. I'm quite happy to babble away. And she happened to say to me, well, really, how did you get started in social? Because let's face it, I am not the poster child for a social media consultant. I mean, I just turned 60 in November, so I'm a little sort of beyond where most people would think for someone doing the jobs that I do. My background is web design and SEO, so it all sort of flowed together. But when Facebook opened their doors, and I'm telling her this story, I'd never said it before. I said, you know, Facebook opened their doors to general populace, and it meant right away that I could stalk my adult children without annoying them so much. Because I was phoning them every day, and they kept saying, like, Mom, we're fine. Stop calling. So here was this wonderful new gift where I could actually stalk them and not have to bother them at all. But within the first week or so, I realized that my web clients could use this to widen their circle. And so manually, in 2007, I was starting to explain to people what I didn't realize was using social media for relationship building. And within just a couple of months, I surpassed both children in number of friends and decided that, yeah, I was having fun doing this. So there's the story that came out of that. What that tells people is, okay, it's not intimidating. Don't let social media intimidate you, because people get on there for all kinds of reasons. I work it as a business, and I really did from the beginning, but I fell into it by being a sneaky mom. So that's the little story of it, and it was really funny, because I would have never have repeated that. But when it came time, this lovely woman, Sophie Smith Doré is her name, and she's just had a new baby. She's a fitness coach here in Ottawa. And she got up, and when it was time for her to say something about me, we had been talking with three other people, and I thought, oh, I don't know what she's going to say. Did I tell her anything? She opened with that and said, oh, my God. She said, this woman is a social media consultant, and I really think I have to hire her, because she started in Facebook so she could stalk her kids. I thought, ding, ding, that's marketing 101. When someone uses something you say that works in your business, pick it up and run with it.
Right.
Exactly.
And to that point, too, it is good to have a profile in all the main platforms that most of the people are in. For business purposes, Facebook might not be the one that works for one business, where it will kick ass for another business, and same with Twitter and all the other platforms.
Absolutely. There's only, in my eyes, okay, I tell clients and prospects alike, okay, you need a profile on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is the only professional business platform. And it has its own search function that is built completely different from all the other search engines. So that is a platform that you need to have a profile on that's not necessarily for social, in terms of, you know, Twitter and Facebook and what have you. Right to this day, you should have a Google Plus business page, because it's owned by the biggest search engine in the world. Therefore, you get indexed. Then you move on to the other social channels, and here's how you do it. You need to know who your target audience is and where they play. It doesn't matter if you like Facebook or you like Twitter or you like Pinterest or Instagram or Vine or any of those. You need to be where your clients are. Because
Bingo.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Okay, bottom line, guess what? It's not about us. It's about
them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You are not your market.
Yeah. You have to be there serving your market, you know, understanding their pain points and their pleasure points and serving those. It's really not about you. You want to be about you, get yourself a show.
Like us. Like we did. Except this show's about you.
Well, there you go. There you go. Good answer. Good answer.
Well, this is fun. This is a really good way to kick this back off again.
I'm so glad. It was so lovely to get your note, and it's like, yay! Yes, happy to see you both again.
This is awesome. So we might as well end the same way we ended our shows before, is have you leave our audience with a tip that might move their needle forward.
So the challenge of the week, we end with a challenge of the week. If you could challenge anyone to, you know, how to keep up with the evolving changes in social media, what would your challenge be for them this week?
Okay. Stop looking at all the shiny objects out there and really work the ones you're using now. Because you need to be sure you're personalizing everything you do on every platform. Okay, are you staying in touch with your clients and your prospects on a weekly basis? I just finished saying it's not about you, it's about them. So I firmly believe that 90% of everything you do should be reshares, retweets, relikes, plus ones, all of those things about everyone else. I think only 1% should be about you and what you do. So get out there and up your engagement and pay attention to what people are saying. Because people are asking for help moment to moment on every platform out there. And there's plenty to go around.
I love it. I love it. People are asking for help, and people do want to feel heard. So
Absolutely.
That's really terrific. I think there's nothing worse than those people that use social media just to push their message.
That's a broadcaster.
All the time. Yeah. I just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I say social media is a two-way street. Okay? Like, it has to go both ways.
Yeah.
I just posted something in LinkedIn actually yesterday, a piece, and one of the things that I said was where the misnomer about social media comes about is people look at the social media as a thing,
yes,
as this entity, but really social media is people. There
yes.
are people behind these platforms, and if you look at them as people, then maybe they'll change their attitude about it.
The problem is they're still looking, I see so many people still looking at it as media and pushing out media. And that's so Mad Men, like, doesn't, you know, 1960s Madison Avenue, you know, advertising, and it just does not work at all on social media. I want to cringe every time I see that.
Buy my stuff.
Yeah. Can I just take 2 more minutes?
And of course.
I'm going to boil this down to so simple. Social media, okay? My friends Ted Coyne and Mark Babbitt wrote the book A World Gone Social. Cynthia, you know who they are. Mm-hmm. And they're saying we've come into the social age. And yes, that's absolutely true. But guess what? Social media is simply the label we have given word of mouth that has been around as long as humans.
Right.
Back in the, you know, from the 11th to the 15th, 16th century, you lived in little villages. Okay, and in the village there would be maybe a farrier, that's the guy who shoed your horses, at one end of the village, and there was a farrier at the other end of the village. Now, you went to the farrier at this end of the village, and he didn't hit your kids, and he was nice to your horse, and when you came to get the horse was happy and comfortable, so you would, word of mouth, tell your neighbors, tell your friends. The guy at the other end was kind of grumpy. What people didn't know, his wife wasn't a very nice human. So he got up grumpy every day, and he passed that on to the clients. Well, you know what? Before too long, he had to pass on to another village because everyone was being referred to this farrier. Mm. That's all it is. We're doing the same thing. We've just moved into a virtual world. We're not stuck in our village anymore. We can affect everything everywhere. And you know, I used to say social media lets us reach the world. Well, I can't say that anymore. It reaches the world and beyond because we've been to the space station. Chris Hadfield is a bigger entity now than some rock stars. And why is that? Because social media allowed him to connect face-to-face through Hangouts from the space station.
I love that. You know, and it's true. I learned when I was trying to help the hospitality industry in particular that good reviews can increase the hotel's ability to actually charge more for the room, and bad reviews can bring their room rates on an average daily rate significantly down in a way that very much negatively impacts. And so the hotels, as an industry, are having to become much better at social media because there's so much competition out there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, reviews matter.
Oh, they absolutely do. And the fact is, okay, even before we had an internet, if you went to a restaurant and you had a crappy dinner, you would go home and tell 10 of your friends. If you had a great dinner, you might tell one.
Yeah.
That's, in a way, really, really sad.
But now we're photographing our great dinners and everyone
exactly.
has to go there and eat.
We have the opportunity to pass on great information about phenomenal places to eat and really good service in great little stores. We have, you know, the keys to the kingdom right in our hands. And we can help everyone else have the best experience. Because guess what? That's what each of us wants.
Mm. That's a perfect way to end the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for being here for our reunion.
Oh, that's so cool. I like it. I like it. Well, thank you so much for having me.
And so how do businesses get in touch with you? Should they want to reach out to you for your advice and help in their endeavors?
Well, thank you for asking. The company is TrulSocial.com, but it's really simple. Just go look up Elaine Lindsay. Trust me, you'll find me in search.
Excellent. All right. Well, this has been Virtual Newsmakers, kicking it back in 2016. And we look forward to seeing everyone again soon. Thank you for watching.